Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show's grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And that's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boys Lick Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Palo de Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Good to go.
Rain.
Yeah. Very good. No, they are anxious to be indoors. It's raining here.
Isn't it really? Yeah, here we go again. It's not raining here. I'm not getting anything up here.
Yeah, it's raining pretty good, but they're an interesting bunch, so we're leaving them outside.
All right. Hey. Sometimes
can't let
people like to be outside the rain.
That's right. Welcome to All About Wine. It's Thursday, the June the 12th. If you're not listening to us, maybe AFRN is pulling. It's probably not the June the 12th. It's I don't know when they're playing it. But here we are. Ron sounds a little bit differently. And as far as I know, he's not sick. But there's just something different about it. And I'll let him explain it. And I will. We got a couple of minutes, and I'll go get our guest.
All right. Well, what's different is the fact that remember last week I asked all of you out there, give me a computer. Nobody did. Well, I'll tell you, my computer problems have just really went through the roof or through the floor, or whatever, however expression works best for this. Our home computer, desktop, is being repaired. The work computer we brought home crashed out on us. It just shuts itself off all the time. Don't know why. Hooked up a laptop here, and for some reason, this one is doing it. I don't know if it's the router or what. We have Verizon. No slam against Verizon, but no compliment to Verizon. I don't know if it's them or not, so it could be. Who knows? But the point being is, I'm calling in just like a guest tonight. I'm able to listen to the program and do the program from a landline, from a phone. So it shows you. You guys can do it out there. Any of you all want to call in and talk to us, let us know. One quick thing I want to know, I got an email from Irene King. If you all remember, she was a guest on about a month ago now, I guess it's been. and she has done further steps in her ventures to become sommelier and all that other stuff. So she's working right along. And, yeah, she's doing well. So,
I think she passed the first step. She passed the first obstacle of getting that. And, let me go back to the page, because that was kind of interesting how she is progressing quite a bit. And, as expected, obviously, but she passed the first level sommelier last week, which I guess it would have been last week because she posted on June 9th. And she's going to be testing for the certified at the end of the year. Also testing for the certified specialist of wine in September. And so far, 3 for 3. Wow, that's actually she said actually 4 for 4. But she's still waiting for the cork certification info. So, wow. Quite a feat. Yeah, that's a lot. That's really cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, quite an accomplished lady. We will get her on again toward the end of the year. Hopefully, when she's on, she'll have all of her certifications and she can talk fancy wine to us. So,
and I'll be back in a minute. It's all you.
Yeah. So we'll have her talk to us. At the end of the year or whenever. She's in constant contact with us, which is cool. I always like to hear from her. So we'll see. We'll get her back on. We'll have her explain to us what the tests were like and how everything went and all that stuff. But she is progressing, so I wanted to share that with everyone. Tonight, our guest is going to be Sarah, I think it's pronounced Levatori. I'm sure she will let me know when she comes on. Libertory. Sarah is the winemaker and founder of Stiletto. Our Stiletto, I think it's pronounced Stiletto. There's a vowel left out of the middle of the word, Stiletto. So I think it's Stiletto. Stiletto Wines. The first wine company that is made entirely by women for women. Everyone they employ is a female, and even the logo is a picture of a stiletto heel. So it's become a very, very popular wine in Hollywood circles, one of the favorite wines of a lot of celebrities, and it was recently featured at the Academy Award event and on CBS and NBC in New York as a top wine product. And it's getting all sorts of neat stuff. So it is, she's ready. We'll bring her on. We'll have her tell us about her and the company and everything else. So, Sarah, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Ron?
I'm doing great, and I apologize for the sound of my voice. I'm having computer problems. I had to go on landline, and
I'm
talking through a phone, but it works. So welcome to the show, All About Wine. I'm glad to have you on as a guest here. I was just telling a little bit about Stiletto Wine. First, let's pronounce your last name, Liberatore.
That's correct. It's Liberatore, and yes, Liberatore is correct. Can you say Liberatore?
Liberatore? Maybe once, but never three times in a row.
I know, yes, it's Liberatore, exactly. In Italian, yeah, it's Liberatore.
Liberatore. Okay. You got to do this little accent on it to make it sound really Italian.
Really Italian, yeah.
So, let's start from the beginning from you. It sounds like you are Italian. Are you, did you get some years in Italy? Are you,
I'll tell you my story. It's interesting. My family is Italian. We're from Abruzzo. It's in central Italy, an hour from Rome on the Adriatic coast. I studied in my undergraduate college in Toronto in Canada, so that's why I have a little accent. A lot of people point me out for my Canadian accent, so if you're picking that up, that's why.
Canadian,
but, The Canadian Italian, exactly. But yeah, Stiletto Wine has been it's been a huge hit. It's been a really great journey, actually. I started in 2010. And the wine is made from start to finish in Italy, of course, in Abruzzo, and I employ all women on the bottling line. It was just a great, great project of mine. I wanted something to embody Italy's best assets, and of course, wine and fashion are two of Italy's top items and things that they produce. But I wanted something a little different, and more often than not, women are involved in wine, but not in the actual winemaking itself. And I wanted something where I can have all women involved, from picking, packing, to selling. And so I started this in 2010 with a group of five women. And my first market, because at the time, of course, I was in Canada, my first market was Canada. And then it was interesting. So many American women were messaging me on our Facebook page and our Twitter page, sending me emails saying, how could you have gone to Canada, not the United States? Are you crazy? So, and it was always a dream. I have to be honest with you. It's a funny story. The wine is, there's a stiletto shoe on the label. The word stiletto is not written on the label. I'm not sure, Ron, if you received the wine, but you'll see when you do the bottle. There's
I did.
Excellent.
In fact, right now I'm enjoying a bottle of the Pinot Grigio that you sent, which is, by the way, fantastic. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But yes,
oh, fantastic.
I did.
Great. So as you can see on the label, there are five letters, S-T-L-T-O. And I'll explain to you why we picked those. So as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, I have five women that work with me on the bottling line. And so they picked a word of what this wine and what this project means to them. So S is for sophisticated, T for timeless, L for lavish, T for trendy, and O because all women are outstanding. And so it's STLTO, and we have the stiletto shoe on the label. Of course, again, we wanted something, a wine for made by women for women, but also as well as stiletto was invented in Italy by Ferragamo, the designer. So we really wanted something that had meaning to Italy, something that's quite modern, and of course, it's all women that are producing and making this. And so it's been a great journey. So we have the Pinot Grigio, we have Merlot, we have Prosecco. So it's been great. The Prosecco, of course, is from the Veneto region up north, and that's where my mother is from, because I started producing wine in Abruzzo, where my father's from, and my mother said, well, you've left me out of the equation, so I had to start producing in Veneto as well. I had to balance out my family's wishes. So it's been an amazing, amazing journey.
It sounds like it has been. You said you started in 2010 in Canada. When did the wines first hit American shelves?
We hit shelves just recently, actually, in November and December of 2013. And
wow.
It was a dream of mine. It's a funny story. When I first started producing these wines, you have to imagine this label is very different and quite modern compared to the very traditional labels out of Italy. So when I was at our family vineyard, and I have the wines come in these beautiful branded case cartons, and the whole town, because I make the wine in quite a small town, the whole town thought we had changed to a shoe manufacturing company because of all the shoes. So what happened was, the talk of the town, they said, oh, this girl, she's, you know, Sarah is losing her mind. She's lucky if she sells one case of this. We've never seen something like this before. And so it was a dream of mine. I thought, maybe they're right. Maybe this is never going to work. But the story has just, it's become so, it just went viral. And there's just amazing people that have reached out to me. And that's when a lot of women and some men in the United States said, you need to come to the United States. So it was a dream of mine. And I've been set up in the fall, and we're really excited. I had a lot of people in Florida, so we're really pleased, because I'm just starting in Jacksonville, Tampa, and South Florida, so we're really excited.
Oh, great. Well, you know, we are around the Tampa area here, so that's We'll pass this on. We'll see if we can't get people to check it out when they see it, when they find it on the shelves.
Yeah, it's great. We're working with RNDC, so it's really exciting. There's a lot of people. So, again, and I, when my grandparents had a place in Florida when I was really small from Italy, we'd leave and go to Florida for a month. And so it was always, I thought, oh, so that if out of all of the states, Florida is amazing because it reminds me of my childhood.
Oh, fantastic. That's
yeah.
good to hear.
Yeah.
Let's back up. We're going to Italy now, to the vineyards, to the areas
yes.
where it's done. Tell us about the operations there. What? How many acres? What stainless steel or oak? What? Tell us about
yes,
that.
Of course. So this is all done in Abruzzo, in the province of Chieti. We use all completely stainless steel tanks. We actually, it's funny, Italy, we're still going with hectares. I'm not sure what the conversion is from hectares to acres, but it's 75 hectares. We're actually converting to all solar panels. It'll be complete in a few weeks, actually. We're very excited. Right now I'm in Canada, but I'm leaving and I'll be back in Italy for the rest of the summer because the solar panels will be complete. I'm very big on being as environmentally friendly as possible. So I can actually tell you a bit about that. So the wines are screw cap, of course. But something interesting is we store the wines 4 meters underground, so we don't have to refrigerate. Yeah, it's amazing. It's saved. It's very great for the environment, and it's been very, very successful for us. We love it. So it's 4 meters underground, and we store everything underneath. And it's obviously quite cool. Something else that you may find interesting is when we're not using those stainless steel tanks, they're obviously outside, but when it rains, we collect that water, and I reuse that to water the vineyards, yeah. So if I try to do as much as I can, I've also gone to a lighter glass weight. The usual one is about 500 grams a bottle, so we're at 420 grams. If I can just help the environment as best as possible, I'll try and make whatever commitment I can make. So it's
sounds like
it's
been great strides in that direction. Yes.
We're trying. It's been really fantastic, and it's just like I said, it was something that I had only dreamed of even selling 10 cases. So I said, the first order I'll never forget of the Pinot Grigio, we had made a container worth, so roughly 700 cases. And I thought, if this doesn't work, I'll have copious amounts of wine to share with a lot of people in this town. There was more bottles of wine than people that actually live in the town. So I said, we may have to have 2 bottles each. But it's been great. So yeah, we're in Abruzzo, and I make the Pinot Grigio, the Merlot, and we have a Malbec as well. That's in Canada. In the U.S., we have the Pinot Grigio and the Merlot. And then up in Veneto, of course, I have the Prosecco. And that's quite different, of course. And so we're in the Valdobbiadene region. It's a DOC, as you can see on the front label. And that's great as well. Of course, that's stainless steel tanks. So it's great. And we use a cork, actually. We've patented a cork so that when you open, there is a silicone tip, and that doesn't it doesn't allow the product to cork. We've been finding 2 of 12 of the average Prosecco. This is a little wine nerd fact for you. But 2 of 12 are usually tainted. Most people don't notice that. Yeah. These are packed in 12, but what I wanted was something just to assure freshness. And again, they're wines where they're financially friendly. You don't have to break the bank, but I still wanted top quality. So it has a very fun package, as you can see, but there's a very real and deep story behind the brand. So I wanted people to take it. Of course, have a great time in the $9.99 retail in the U.S., but to have a great quality behind it, great quality product.
I'm going to back up a little bit. I'm going to ask, you said you have the wines 4 meters underground. You said also that the town is close to Rome?
Yeah, so we're located by car. It's a 1.5-hour drive from Rome, and we're on the Adriatic coast. What's really beautiful about Abruzzo, it's very similar to California, where you have water and mountain.
Uh-huh.
A lot of us will say it's the undiscovered part of Italy. It's beautiful. So I can see the Maiella mountain, and it's great because the wine keeps very, very well, and we have the sun on the other side, so that's great for the crops. It's in a beautiful area, so very, very similar to California.
So you're on the coast, but the soil 4 meters in the ground keeps it cool enough then, so it doesn't penetrate and all that.
Exactly. And I decided to go with the twist caps as well, because at the beginning we were using cork, but again, I just wanted something that was very user-friendly, and at the same time, too, it does save with whatever small footprint of mine, but it does save with regards to using corks. So we've gone completely a screw cap, aside from the Prosecco, of course.
Right, yeah. The Prosecco, is that something that, because of your mother, or was that one of the original ones that you decided to do anyway?
I have to be honest, I had started with the still wines, and my mother kept telling me, how could you have left out Veneto? How could you have left out Northern Italy? And I said, I know, Mom, I'll get to it. And so last year, I had so many people asking me, please, we would love Prosecco. And I said, okay, let me get myself organized. And so I started last year in Canada. And again, the same thing happened. A lot of American women were saying, what? You're not in the United States. This is crazy. So we started in New York. And it was great. Even just recently at the Oscars, it was very, very popular. The Pinot Grigio and Prosecco were very, very popular at the Oscars. And just with even celebrities as well that have reached out to me. Yeah. Yeah, the Prosecco flows. It flows like water. But it's really nice too, especially with the summer. And it's great. It's even for women too. Some women ask me, is there a lot of calories in the wine? I've never coined them as low calorie wines because that's not what it's all about. I mean, these are wines. They're made in a traditional Italian style, but those traditional Italian styles of winemaking don't call for very high sugar residuals or anything of that nature. So they're right. just great quality wines.
The Italian wines, usually you get that little bit of acid in there. You don't get that high sugar. You get that acid, the bite, and, you're looking at a good wine that opens your eyes a little bit instead of just...
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean,
yeah, And that's the thing. I didn't make them sweet. I mean, I know sweet wines are popular, but these wines they're easy sippers on their own, and you can very easily pair them with food. And that's why they've been at a lot of parties, just to have on their own, or it's just been great even for celebrities who usually go for the white because the red wine may stain their teeth. So at the Oscars, it was only white wine and the Prosecco. Yeah.
Just brought out something. I think I mentioned that I do last week or so. Excuse me. That the red wine, that little stain on your teeth, helps fight cavities. And
really?
So, yeah. There's a new report out saying that the red wines, that little stain you get on your teeth, is a cavity fighter. So you're going to start seeing people walk red stain wine.
They're fighting cavities together.
I want to throw in something here, too. Prosecco, for those of you out there, that's Italian term for sparkling wine. Prosecco is Italian, Champagne, France, Cava, Spain. So that is their sparkling wine. So for those of you who don't know that. You said in Canada you're starting to do a Malbec?
Yes, in Canada, we started with a Malbec. That was one of the first wines. Believe it or not, a lot of people think Malbec is from Argentina, and you're right, it is. There's lots and lots of Malbec from Argentina, but it's been used as a blending grape. It's originally from the south of France. There's an abundance of Malbec in northern Italy. So I started with that. Yeah. It's always been used as a blending grape, and in Canada, they had said, can you try and put an Italian twist on a Malbec? And I said, yeah, of course I can. So I started that, and it's, yeah, it's interesting. But, you know, Malbecs are different. This is a very different style. And so we do have it, but the Merlot definitely is the number one for the reds, for sure.
So the Malbec is Italian, then? It's Italian grapes and stuff?
That's correct, yes.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. I thought you mentioned Malbec, and I was thinking Canada, and that just seemed odd. So, but you were talking to it.
Oh, yes. They said, they said, can we a twist on something different from Italy? But the Merlot, of course, they're wines that are known from coming, you know, from the area. So the Pinot Grigio and the Prosecco for the summer are front line. Everyone's, you know, perfect for the patio, by the pool. And then the Merlot is very popular, of course, in the fall and the winter. So, which is not to say that you can't have Merlot. I just put together a recipe where you can make Merlot popsicles for the summer, which are delicious, by the way. So you can have them year-round.
Oh, fantastic. So as of right now, it's just the five wines then. We've got Pinot Grigio, Prosecco, Merlot, Malbec, and I guess four.
Yes, we have four. And we had a Chardonnay that is in Massachusetts. But I have to be honest, the majority of states that we're selling to take the Pinot Grigio and the Prosecco. I mean, unoaked Chardonnay, California's done such a phenomenal job at making Chardonnays, and they're oaky, and the majority of them, and they're lovely. Pinot Grigio is our, I like to say, the Italians, you know, our forte. So I stuck with that because it's friendly and it's not an intimidating wine. So I produce much more of the Pinot Grigio to the Anouk Chardonnay.
So you do a Chardonnay, though?
I do, yes. So that would make it five.
Five, okay. Oh, good. I do an oak Chardonnay myself. I don't do oak, so, you know, it'd be interesting to do a comparison here, see what your Chardonnay and mine are.
Yeah, it's very crisp. Yeah, and we're working on a rosé actually as well, and that'll be out soon in the U.S. So we're working on a rosé and a pink sparkling, which is really delicious.
That was something I was going to ask. What is coming up here?
That's coming up. I'm not sure when we'll be launching it in the United States, but it's definitely in the works in the near future for sure. So
it will be on your website, I would presume, that, you know, all the new releases and everything.
Exactly, yes. We didn't post it yet because it isn't available. And a lot of the times, it's funny, I not only do I handle everything at the winery, but I also handle all of my social media. So our Facebook, Twitter, the website. So if I post something on there and it's not available in the United States, I get flack from my Stiletto fans. So they know who they are if they're listening to this right now. But on Facebook, it's I just messaged you right now as we're chatting on Facebook. I have my Facebook page is STLTO Wine, and that's the same on Twitter. It's at STLTO_wine. And as you know, on the website, it's stltowine.com. So we're there, and Instagram, it's crazy. A lot of people will reach out to me, and I handle all of that as well. So I'm always in touch with people that are looking for Stiletto or fans and so on. It's been great. A lot of them send me photographs of where they found it or at parties and when they're drinking it. It's been really rewarding.
Oh, fantastic. You do that, you promote everything. What is your job title? What do you do? What is all that
you
wear?
I find myself asking that question every day. I feel like some days, I have to be honest with you, Ron, oh my gosh, I feel like I do everything. But you know what? I wouldn't be able to do it without the women in Italy. They help me a lot. And just for instance, right now I'm traveling and presenting to new chains. So without them, I wouldn't be able to do any of this. I would say, winemaking, sales, advertising, marketing manager, the list goes on, and taster, I do everything. Yeah, I have my hands in everything, but it's been great. I've had so many women actually in the United States that have reached out to me to volunteer. So there's a few that have emailed me and said, we'd love to volunteer our time. We'd love to come to Abruzzo and be part of this. So it's really nice because at the beginning I was on my own, but it's nice to see just women coming together and even celebrating the story of the brand. So it's, I've been blessed that a lot of people have been willing to help me, and that's always nice because you can't do it on your own.
No, not everything. How many women do you have working for you at the winery back in Italy?
So we started with 5. We're 8 right now, and in by the fall we're hoping for 10 to 12. We're growing, and the United States, it's just the brand has been in high demand. We started off with one state, and now we've grown to, we started with Massachusetts, and now we're in New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Florida, Indiana, Wisconsin, Kentucky. So I'm keeping, we're busy. We're all busy.
It's constant in the United States from east to west. That's, you know.
Yeah, it was a dream. When I thought New York, I said, oh, this is great. You know, okay, I've reached my goal. Then I started seeing so many people reaching out to me saying, well, why haven't you come here? Why haven't you come to North Carolina? Or why haven't you come to Texas? And I said, I need to walk before I run. But which is nice, which is really nice.
All right. Now, the big question here, and I always ask this for any guest who is involved with wine, government. Getting license, getting distribution, shipping it overseas, doing it to Canada, doing it to the United States, the different states and all that. Tell us, have you found that the government is helpful, harmful? Do you want to love them? Do you want to kill them? Do you want to hug them?
Well, it depends. It depends what country. I would say the United States has been it was very challenging at the beginning, of course. It's a 3-tier system, and that's something I'm not used to because I think the most challenging country I've ever dealt with has been Canada, for sure. And that's, simply because Canada, it's like Pennsylvania. It's state-run because there's a monopoly, and that is a whole lot of red tape, Ron. A whole lot of red tape, yeah. The United States has been challenging, no doubt. I mean, it's a, huge, amazing country, lots of people, lots of importers, lots of distributors. So getting to the right person was a challenge for me, and finding someone that appreciated the wine and the story and could put it in the right hand. So I'm really grateful for my importers. And even the distributors that I work with have been fantastic. So the beginning was challenging. I mean, the whole TTB thing and so on. But I have to say, it was fair. I felt it was fair because I'm so used to red tape in Canada. You're really not allowed to do anything in Canada, to be honest, as far as alcohol sales is concerned. I'm sure you've heard of some of the states, the monopolies. So you can't do much. Yeah, and so that's challenging. England is another very interesting place to do business, but I have to say definitely Canada has been the hardest for me.
Wow, that's just, yeah. I know Canada is always tough. Because they have, like you say, monopoly, state-run stores or, government-run stores, just like Pennsylvania. And, some of the people I've talked to about the Canadian system, it's just, it can be, nerve-wracking, to say the least.
It was very nerve-wracking. That's why I said, they'll drive me to drink. And I said, well, it's good that I'm in this industry, so I have access to wine at any time. The United States, I think I was so thrilled and excited to even been given a chance and to have been embraced by Americans that I looked beyond all of the applications and filings. I was just so thrilled to have had the opportunity. I'm sure that made me feel that it was not as intense as in Canada. But Canada, it's not easy. It's just all very, very, monopoly run, and you can't purchase wine when you want to. I've been spending more time in the United States, and I just feel like it's much more land of the free. Whereas in Canada, you can't buy anything when you want, and I said, oh God. So it's an interesting place. Hopefully my Canadian fans aren't mad at me right now, but in just being honest.
Well, the Canadian, The Canadian wine drink has probably realized that, though, and that's just it. It's just they know what's going on, and they understand, you know.
And they understand. Well, I think that's why a lot of people – so I was in school, as I mentioned before, in Toronto, and I have to be honest, a lot of people would drive and go to Buffalo, and they would purchase their wines there because the selection in the United States is phenomenal, and the prices in the U.S. on most wines are, you know, it's very, very competitively priced. In Canada, the prices are much higher. So people would take a car ride over to Buffalo. At least they could get into the U.S. that way, and would still be inexpensive, and you could pay your duties at the border, and you could go home with different wines. So, you know, it's just a good thing that I'm in the wine industry. When I need a glass, I can pour it. So pour it pretty quickly. Yeah.
I'm sure that goes on a lot along the Canadian border with people coming over and getting it still. I mean, it's just I've talked to different wineries across the country, and the ones in the northern states say they do get a lot of Canadian business. So
yeah, lots. Well, it's great in the U.S. as well because you can order wine online, and I think that's an amazing thing. I mean, I have quite a few that have listed the product. There's Market View Liquors, there's Garnett's in New York City, there's Wine Chateau, and that makes it really easy if you just want something delivered to your home. There was actually a celebrity in New York City. She had ordered it online, and it was fun. I guess she didn't want to go out and purchase it, and so she had ordered it online, and she told me how amazing it was, and it went to her hotel. And I think that's just a great thing to have. Why leave home if you can have something delivered at a very inexpensive price? Quite a few of my friends live in New York City, and they love that service. So I don't know if that happens in Florida, but I know there's quite a few states that have it.
Yeah, it's pretty much across the United States. There are some states that are restricted. There is an organization called FreeTheGrapes.org. FreeTheGrapes.org is located in California. They've been working to loosen the laws so that you can do that all across the country. Great organization. We've had the president on the program a couple of times talking about it. But it is something that is changing in this country. In fact, I think the most recent state that has changed their laws was Massachusetts. So it's something that's improving everywhere. Yes, Florida is one of those. We can ship here, and they're striving all across the country to make it easy to do that. And you're right, it's a great thing.
It's a really great service. I think it's just an amazing model to have. Hopefully some other countries will do that. I mean, you can do it in England. Canada, there's no way that would happen. if it does happen, I have to tell you, I hope I'm one of the first people to find out. But, so I think it's a great service. I've learned so much. But like I said, it was just amazing to me because I was told, I'll never forget even an Italian grandmother is nonna. And I remember my nonna was just shaking her head saying, you know, and in Italian she said to me, you know, you need to get a real job. She thought this was going to be a huge, you know, you have to pay off your college debts. You need, really, Sarah, that's enough. You need to get a real job. And so when I told her, you're not going to believe this. You know, it's in the United States. And so these are the grandparents that would take me to Florida when I was a kid. And so I think now she feels a little badly with what she said to me, but we're getting over it. We're all
never
about
what they say.
Oh yeah, exactly. She said, you know, you have to listen. You know, we know much more than you young kids, because at the time I was 22, and it's been amazing. It's been amazing to see what's happened.
What do you have your degree in, Sam?
So international business and marketing. But I grew up in the food business, so I knew that I wanted to, in Italy, we eat and we drink. So I knew that I grew up in, simply put, I would like to say, we eat and we drink. It was crazy because my parents thought perhaps that I would have taken over the family business, but I did something a little different. I said, okay, if they have the food down packed, then someone needs to handle the wine. So it was something that I looked into, but it took quite some time in the schooling. I'm constantly looking to better my knowledge, and actually in July I'll be doing some more courses, actually, just to be on top of things. It's really important. So every few months I'll do 2 to 3 day intensives to learn more and make sure that all is good at the winery and so on. With so much traveling, you really need to be on top of things, obviously. So I'll be doing that in July, and that'll keep me busy for the next few months for sure.
What? Why did you think wine? What really brought you into that?
You know, it's something that I would always see within the food industry, even at food shows. I would see some people in the wine industry, and they would tell me a little bit about wine and what they were doing and exporting. The biggest thing for me was in 2010 when I, 2009, which was 1 year before I had launched the brand. I traveled to Verona. I've been in Italy. It's the largest wine show in Italy. I'm sure you've heard of it. It happens every year around April.
Right.
And so I went there, and I just really felt that there's amazing wines and there are amazing producers. There are very few female producers in Italy. And I've always looked up to all of the women in wine in California. Women in wine in Italy, it's not as popular as it is in the United States out of California. And I thought to myself, that's a really real shame, because there are some amazing producers, but they're not getting the accolades or being recognized. So I traveled around and I went from region to region, and I couldn't find anything that really stood off those shelves and those displays. And I thought, someone needs to put something together, a solid wine with a great package and export to North America, something modern, because there are more and more younger people that are drinking wine, I find, in and around my age, or millennials that are drinking wine, and they want to learn. But it doesn't need to be so traditional. And so that's how it started. Then I kept telling people, create something. And finally someone said, well, why don't you do it? And I thought, well, okay. And how will I break the news to my parents? So I started, and it was really tough, because for 1 year I was making obviously smaller batches of wine, putting prototypes together. And you'll actually see, Ron, on the package, so there's the stiletto, but the point of the stiletto is cut off on the bottle. I don't know if you see that right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've got it right here in front of me. It's got the main stiletto, and then it goes
the
on
point,
down. And
yeah, so the point of the shoe is missing, and that's because, so I came out of college, I had debt. I had to pay off my debt. I obviously needed to put prototypes together. I needed to hire a graphic designer, and I had no money. So I actually drew that label by hand on a napkin on a flight, and that's why the shoe is imperfect on the wine label, because I had done it myself. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to keep it, because it's a real reflection of the story and the whole journey of all of this. And that's how it started. It was a really tough year, and I put prototypes together and labels and so on, and then I was presenting it to the monopolies in Canada, because, again, I thought, I don't know. There's so many amazing wines in the United States. I don't think I'm ever going to have the chance. So I didn't even – it was a dream for the United States, but I didn't think it was going to happen. So I thought, I'll try out Canada first. Let's see. I spent enough time in school there, so let's give it a whirl. And then it was just all the American women, actually, I have to tell you, that had emailed me and inspired me, because I was really, just really overwhelmed and even try to get into the U.S. I thought, oh, I don't know if they're going to give me a chance. So it was a big deal for me when I had my first container sent there. It was amazing. I'll never forget.
Yeah,
I took pictures because I said, I don't know if this is ever going to happen again, but it's been happening every month. I keep busy. I said, this is a Kodak moment. I don't know if it's ever going to happen again.
You need to do it now.
Yeah, it was so, really great.
So the winery itself, is it from scratch? You built it up, or was it an existing one you happened to purchase?
Yes, it was an existing, so they're 40-year-old vineyards. It was an existing winery, and my parents, I grew up with these people, because every year we would be in Italy. When I was in Canada, of course, I would always go back to Italy every summer. So I knew these people, and an older gentleman, who was really getting up in age, was planning on selling it. And he planned on selling it in 2011. He was just planning for the future. And then in 2009, I convinced him to give me a chance. So again, older people just thinking, oh, kids these days. So he kind of shook his head and thought, I don't know if this girl knows what she's taking on. And yeah, it was amazing. He really gave me a chance. So for a year, I spent a lot of time developing and learning, making mistakes and then learning from them. And then in 2010, I think I have my purchase order. Let's try this. So I have that that winery, and so I've taken it over, and I'm expanding now. And like I said, I'm doing the solar panels and so on. Yeah. So we have some more, just a little bit of room, not much, but a little bit more, and so we're expanding, and it's beautiful.
Well, it sounds like it. You mentioned earlier, and you brought it up again, which reminded me, solar panels.
Yes.
You said you had some stuff to say about the solar panels.
Yes, they're being installed. We're putting them on the roof of the winery. I found that back in 2009 and 2010, we were using a lot of resources, for obvious reasons, of course, it's machinery and so on. And so what I decided to do is I have the solar panels up, which is, which will save us quite a bit and is very helpful again for the environment. And what I did at the same time was I reduced the farming equipment. So we've actually in September, October, when we do the harvest or the vendemia, we'll be hand harvesting. So don't remind me, Ron, it's fun, but it's tiring.
I do it too.
It's amazing, though. It's a beautiful time of year, and we love it. But between the solar panels and the hand harvesting, we're saving a lot in the sense of just, again, keeping the environment safe. I find that we don't have it's not that there's damage, but you know how it is with equipment going through. Yeah. We have very tight vineyards, so and vines, so it's a lot easier to hand harvest. And last year, actually, I had two men that volunteered. So I don't know if it was for the wine or if it was because of those five women, but all I know is that two men volunteered. So hopefully this year we get a few more, because last year I was a little worried because of the weather, but it turned out to be okay. So yeah, we're looking forward to September, October. We'll see what happens with the weather.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. It harvest is September, end of September and October?
Exactly, yes. So this past year in 2013, it was a little late. I was really worried. There was a lot of rain. This year as well in Italy, it was the last few months. I mean, now we're okay, but the last few months, there was a lot of rain. I just felt that the weather has been a little different for the last 2 years. So we'll see what happens, but I'm expecting it to be the same as last year, mid to end of September. We actually went to the first week of October. So we'll see how it goes this year. So I'll be closely monitoring that. But for now, everything seems to be okay. It'll be very, very hot the next few months. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
So while we're talking about, while we're talking about weather, the winter lows and highs and the summer lows and highs, what are they there around the vineyard?
So let's see, in Fahrenheit, you're going to have to give me a hand with this. In terms of the conversions,
Mike's pretty good about pulling up conversion charge. Mike, you there? Pull up a Fahrenheit to Celsius.
Yeah.
Celsius.
So in Abruzzo, the lows are about 5-6 degrees Celsius, and the highs they can go up to 35 Celsius. So, and we're talking, the humidity, however, is high. Last summer, we were at 42 degrees Celsius with humidity.
Wow,
it was 90. Very, very warm. We was concerned because there's, in the mountains, there's been fires. So it's not as intense as the south. That happens very, very frequently in Sicily and Calabria. It was very warm last year. So the weather has been quite extreme in the sense that it was raining a lot and then it was extremely dry. And you know, Ron, I mean, it's okay, but it's not great. So
like
we were, you know. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, like Florida, we get a lot of rains in the afternoon, but it gets extremely dry before the rains start coming in the season. And we get a lot of fires down here, so it sounds like a Florida-type pattern.
Yeah. It was really extreme, and we were concerned because, again, there was a lot of rain, and with a lot of rain comes a lot of damage, and then with this extreme dry weather, so it was very, very extreme. But we were okay, and we were happy with the yield. So we'll see what happens this year for sure. But it'll be very, very, very warm. July and August are just very warm in Italy, and I imagine the same in Florida. I remember when I was a kid, I would go in August, and it was very, very hot there. Yeah, it was very, very hot.
Upper 90s there, 90 degrees Fahrenheit, upper 90s there.
Oh, yeah.
It's warm, yeah, that's...
Yeah, it was very, very warm. But hopefully, you know, I want to come back to Florida, actually. I miss it. So hopefully, maybe this summer I can come back and visit.
Well, that would be great. If you do make it down this direction, let us know. I'd like to meet up with you and talk for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely.
Mike, are you there? Anything you'd like to ask Sarah?
Do you enter any competitions or anything with your wines?
We just did. Well, we had one last year, which was just like the wine enthusiast. This year, actually, we're going to be sending some in again because I was so new to this, and it's quite new to the U.S. Just starting in the fall. I didn't enter as many, but I will be doing so this year. So we have a long list of where we should apply to. But do you have any recommendations for us, Mike? Maybe I'll jot them down.
Well, we hear a lot about Finger Lakes. Ron, you would say Finger Lakes is pretty big.
There's a big competition in Southern California, Los Angeles, one of the big ones. As is Indiana. Surprisingly, Indiana has a big competition. Indianapolis, there's a big wine competition every year. Yeah, very big one there.
Yeah, I'd like to get the wines out there and just to sample them and just to see how they feel about them.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. And all these areas accept wines from other countries, so it's not an issue of having to be just the United States or anything. So I think Toronto also has a wine competition.
Yes, in Toronto, the wines have done well. We've received great scores out of just with some of the big winos, I call them, that write for the major newspapers like the Globe and Mail, the National, and the wines have performed very well. One of the recent articles was the title was "This wine is more serious than the packaging conveys." And we had gotten 89 points plus. Because, of course, when you see the package, you'll think to yourself, oh, it is a retail brand. But for me, I still wanted to maintain that package, but I really wanted the wine to deliver. That was very, very, very important for me because I would like people to purchase the wine, but if it's not good or it doesn't live up to their expectations, then they won't purchase it again. So for me, quality trumps everything else. That's the most important. So the article was interesting. So packaging, wine is more serious than the packaging conveys. We've had Best Buys, National loved it. A lot of the business sections have been talking about it and asking me more questions. And Wine Enthusiasts actually had given it a Best Buy 89 points. So we're pleased with that. Yeah, we're very pleased because, again, for these wines retail for $9.99 in the U.S. So, and the Prosecco is about a dollar more, so $10.99, so $11. So for those wines, for me, it's all about the quality first and then the packaging. That's important too, but the quality is number one. So we're very pleased so far with the scores. Toronto has some very, very good wine reporters and the judges and so on. So there's actually one coming up that I'll be submitting the wines to. So we'll see what happens. Fingers crossed that it goes well for us.
But I have to address this too. I am enjoying a bottle of a glass of out of the bottle of the Pinot Grigio, and it is a thinner bottle than what you might be used to. It is very eye-catching. It has a silver stiletto on the heel, and the label is catching. It's something that I'm sure people will see and grab and try, and that's a great price point, too. I mean, a $10 price point is great, and the wine, the Pinot Grigio, when I first poured it, it was giving me some nice, sharp flavors, but then as it's set here and as I've sipped on it while I've been talking to you, it's softened a little bit. It's bringing out a little more of the Pinot Grigio characteristics. It's softened that edge, and it's giving you some nice aromas. And it's just, you know, a very nice Pinot Grigio. A lot of the people out there are buying Pinot Grigios and drinking them now, and this is one that they, without question, should add to their list of Pinot Grigios.
Oh, thanks so much, Ron. I'm glad. I wanted to get you the wine before we chatted, so that's great. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, this is very good. Let me interrupt for a second here and say goodbye to AFRN. AFRN, Armed Forces Radio Network, is one of our listeners, and they usually, this is usually toward the end of their time. If you want to tune in, for all of you AFRN listeners, continue us on the computer and check us on archives, and you can catch the rest of Sarah here as she's talking about her wines. excuse me. Another thing, sir, you... I was talking about AFRN, and I lost my thought on that. Mike, another question?
No, you mentioned Verona, and I just wanted to add my little 2 cents about Verona. My mom's from Verona, and so I'm like half Italian, I guess, which is grew up in an Italian house, so I know. But I got to visit there when I was 8 years old, which was just a few years ago. thank you. So quite a few years ago,
yeah.
But we went into the Alps, which is not really that far, and went into this big lodge, and I just remember it when you're talking, you know, about the wines and everything, and long tables, everybody sitting in this big ski lodge type place, and
yeah.
Everybody, including the kids, got a bottle of wine. It was, I think, a bottle for every two people, and that was right now I'm thinking about that was the coolest thing. Back then I was kind of puzzled, like, why am I drinking this, you know, alcoholic beverage? I'm only 8 years old, 9 years old. And it was like nothing to them. There wasn't any kind of, no question, no, you know, it was just every two people got their own bottle of wine to share, and it was just amazing. And once that was empty, here comes another bottle, you know.
Here comes,
It was a great experience, and Venice and everything is just beautiful. One of these days I'm going to get back over there, but it's just a great country. It's beautiful out there. But I heard you say Verona. I was like, oh, I know Verona.
Yeah, Verona, Verona is absolutely beautiful. And you're right. That's a problem that we have in Italy, actually. You'll see minors that are drinking, but it seemed to be the norm. That's what I'm saying. When I was small, it was the food and growing up in the food business was one thing. And I'm telling you, if anyone ever saw it, you know, it's like what you said, an 8-year-old having a glass of Merlot,
yeah.
it would be a little eye-opening in North America for sure. But in Italy,
yes.
And now with the World Cup, you'll see more and more, more and more 10-year-olds having Pinot Grigio watching the game. So, so it's even Prosecco, actually. It's a big, Prosecco is huge in Italy, especially in Northern Italy, of course, because that's where it's made. And it's just Prosecco in the summer. It's just delicious. It's really nice. And you can mix it too. It's just, you can make cocktails with it. It's great.
I keep telling people, you know, champagne and sparkling wines and all of those are not just for special occasions. Those things can be drank anytime and just add a little extra to whatever you're doing. So, yes,
exactly.
You're right. It's great.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing with Prosecco is, I mean, I found a lot of people would say to me, Prosecco, it's, you know, an after-dinner drink. But in Italy, we drink it throughout. We will start with our, like, an antipasto or the start of the meal, and we'll drink it right through. Of course, it depends on the weather and what you're eating, but it's something that you can have throughout your meal. And, yes, of course, you can have it after dinner, but you can also have it at the beginning as well. So it's one of those things that are nice for the summer. And like what you said, Ron, you can add it to things. So you can make, there's, you know, great little different cocktail ideas. So, and you can also make Prosecco popsicles. So you can have those. You can make Prosecco popsicles. You can make Prosecco ice cubes. It's great just for entertaining. You can do a lot. Wine is very versatile, so you can do a lot of nice things in the heat. So perfect for Florida, that's for sure, in these very warm months ahead.
It is. But your pink Prosecco you're coming out with, are you going to make that sweeter than your other, or are you still going to keep it a little dry?
It will be a little sweeter. I won't be as dry, but I don't want it to be very drastic. Just again, I try to incorporate just more of the traditional ways of making products. So it will be higher for sure, but it won't be very, very sweet. But more than the Prosecco for sure. Yes.
Yeah. That was okay. Any other questions, Mike?
No, I'm good. Thank you. That was great.
Mike's thinking right. about Verona right now.
It is, yes.
Mike.
Yes, he is. Sarah, before we let you go, two things. One, any other comments or anything you'd like to bring up that we haven't covered?
No, you know what? I think we've covered a lot, and thank you so much for letting me share the story. Not a lot of people know the women behind the brand and the story, so I really appreciate you allowing me to do that and just communicate the brand. It's a great package, but very, a real story behind it, which makes a world of a difference, I find. There's a lot of products out there, so we're trying to make a difference, so thank you for that.
Well, you know, and the thing is, we'll look forward on the shelves now. You're in Florida. I'm sure you'll be popping up a lot more, and we'll look forward to the new brands you come out with and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Before we go, though, you mentioned it once. I'm going to let you run through the whole list again of the website, the Twitter, the Facebook, all these different contact numbers and addresses for everyone out there.
Definitely, yeah. So you can find, if you go to the website, which links to everything, which is STLTOWINE.com, that will forward you to all of my Facebook, which is also the same, STLTOWINE, my Twitter, STLTOWINE, and Instagram, which is STLTOWINE. And I handle it all, so feel free to email me at any time. I get all of the emails, the messages, and so I communicate one-on-one with a lot of people, so... You can find me there 24/7, and that's where we're at all around the clock.
Fantastic! And if you want this program tonight, you can hook that up too. You can download and hook it up as a link. So
yes, definitely.
Yeah, if you like to do that, it's up to you. Thank you so much for taking your time. You are where now? Canada?
Yeah, right now I'm in Canada, and I'll be leaving in some days. I often forget what day and time it is because I'm on a tight schedule. I'm in Canada. I'm in Toronto. I will be leaving. I'm going back to Europe, actually, in England because the wine is launching there. And then back to Canada, and then Italy, and then back to the United States. So I'm hopping around. Yeah, I'm supposed to do a lot of hopping around, but Italy, I'd like to, in the summer, I like to be there, prepare for the harvest, for the Vendemmia, and then I move on. So I have just a few busy months ahead, and then I'll be back in Abruzzo.
Now, where is permanent home?
I don't know, Ron. That's another interesting question. I'm definitely right now. I've been in North America much more than Europe. The winter I was essentially in between Canada and the U.S., so between New York and Toronto. But my family's been sort of moving around with me when I need an extra hand. So the majority of my family is still in Italy, but I do have my parents that sort of help me when I move around, because it's just a lot for, like I said, for one person. So I'm fortunate. My mother sometimes will go to an event that I can't attend, at least on my behalf, because I don't like saying no to things, or if I can support events, and so I say to her, you have to give me a hand. So they've been moving around with me, but yeah, this winter I've been, or this last 8 months, Toronto and New York, and then back to Abruzzo I go for another, I'll be there for 6 months, and then I'll be jumping around, so a lot of flying, but it's okay.
You just brought up something, too, that I want to ask about. You said your mother attends events because you don't like saying no. How many charity events do you become involved with?
Charity events? My most recent one, actually, was in New Jersey for the American Heart Association. That was amazing. We're really proud to have been part of that, and we had sponsored the wines. We have a few that are coming up in the future, and we want to be affiliated with one in particular for breast cancer. And I have another one where it's a camp. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's quite popular. It's called Camp Uchigeus. It's for children that have cancer, and they undergo chemotherapy while they, well, at least while they're able to play with their friends. And I just, it's a beautiful camp. Very emotional, but I'm very happy to be part of it. And I just finished that, actually. That was all last week, which was beautiful. And we raise money and we pour wine, of course, for the adults. But it was great. It was really beautiful. So we're looking forward to more of that, especially in the United States, in different states. So we've handled, you know, New York and New Jersey, but I'd like to have something in Florida for sure. And, well, all of the states if I can. But it's very important for me anyways to give back. So I like to give wherever I can.
Well, you know, I thought maybe you would. That's why I was asking, because
yes.
You know, just the whole story and everything, you seem like, you know, going green and as much as you can and then hiring the women, it seems like you would be involved in the charity.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And New Jersey was great. It was called, or the hashtag was Go Red, and it was all women. And it's just really important to support one another in just different industries and aspects of life. So as we continue to grow, or as I continue to grow, I plan on giving back as much as possible. Because, again, it's wine in Italy, it's a very people come around the table, and it's family and friends, and you can celebrate at any time, place, or setting over a great bottle of wine. And so for me, it's always about family and table and celebrating together. And I think that goes hand in hand with giving back to charities in the community. So if I can continue to grow, I can continue to give. And I think that's something that has to be on everybody's mind these days, especially. So hopefully if we have a successful future, there's more and more that we can give back to. So we're looking forward to it.
Great sentiment. And while you all are sitting around enjoying family and friends, make that bottle of wine a Seleto wine. So there you go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah, for joining us tonight. We really did appreciate it. When you are in Florida, you coming down here in the Tampa area, by all means, get in touch with me. I'd love to sit down and have a chance to, you know, if we can have wine and a cup of coffee or something with you and just to talk for a little bit. So
yes, great. I'll definitely let you know.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it, and good luck in everything you do in the future.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Much success. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.
Ciao. Oh, fantastic. What a great story.
Yeah, there we go. Very cool. I was taking all kinds of notes here. I didn't get to Twitter that much. I did put some stuff on Twitter, but I was typing notes more than on my little notepad thing here, but as I do for most of the shows. So, yeah, very cool. A lot of success.
It was good. Interesting story, interesting how it started, and just really a great idea and a great brand. We're going to see that pop up. For those of you who are on the western part of the United States, you know, it's coming your way, I'm pretty sure. She's doing great distribution, so, hey, good.
Do you think they're available in Total Wine and More yet or anything?
I would almost say yes. I haven't checked, but I would think that they probably are, because she's saying they're available in Florida, and they're starting to get in Florida, and if anybody would do it. And Total Wine and More,
and
I think, headquarters is in the Carolinas, and she said that they were there. So.
And the shelf price is basically $10? That's the shelf price here?
That's the shelf price. $9.99 price point. And then the Prosecco, the sparkling wine,
$10.99.
To
have an Italian wine like that, definitely. Sounds good. Something to look for. Okay.
Look for out there. Cool. I'm glad she was on. So we have a busy weekend.
I was going to ask you, because I did not get an email on any wine. Well, I think the wine class from probably wine class. I know. Okay. I know the last email I had from May 27th has wine fest or wine class this weekend Sunday, but I didn't know about the wine fest, and I kind of calculated it back using algebra, geometry, and everything else that I knew, calculus,
yeah.
and figure.
This is
what is it?
Yeah.
I didn't get the algorithms class that good, but anyway, so I kind of figured out within an hour or so that this would be the weekend for a wine fest, but I wasn't completely sure. So let me I'll go ahead and run this, and we'll be back in about a minute. So stand by. We'll be right back with All About Wine.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
That's right. It is Wine Fest this Saturday. That is June the 14th, unless you're listening to us on AFRN. Then I'm not real sure when it is. Basically every 2 weeks. So check it out. And you're going to have a lot of vendors. The weather, it's typical Florida weather for this time of year. So come on out. Yeah, definitely. A little bit warm, so dress comfortably and check it out.
Late afternoon rain, so you won't have to worry about that.
Right. So get there early. There you go. 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that is this Saturday. So check it out. Also, you have a wine class.
14 vendors at this one, too. Mike didn't get the email because he usually goes through it and tells everybody about who's going to be there because, like I said at the beginning of the show, the computers crashed on us, so we didn't get them all out. But we got some like 14 vendors, some new ones that we – have never seen before. We've got some of the old regulars coming back and all that, so it's worth a trip out. And Sam Osman will be our entertainment this Saturday, too, and he's always good. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, come out and enjoy the weekend, have a glass of wine, and just relax and enjoy it. It's great. You can also participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron himself, and it's a lot of fun, and then you'll enjoy shopping the vendors. There's a lot of unique handmade items and some brand names you've known for years. Check it out at Florida Estates Winery. And then Sunday, now that I do have a write-up on, Sunday the 15th.
Father's Day.
For some reason I thought it was, yes, it is. Happy Father's Day. And there's a wine class, a three-hour class. It's 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. And let me run that. I'll be right back again in a minute and a half. Hold on.
Hey, this is Mike. Coming up this Sunday at Florida Estates Winery, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. is another wine class. That's right. Wine class at Florida Estates Winery featuring winemaker, vineyardist, cellar master, and tasting expert Ron Hunt. He shares his experiences and educational knowledge of wine in a detailed three-hour wine class. It's a lot of fun and a great way to learn something new about wine. Some of the topics that are covered include a brief history of wines, wine grape varietals, wine grape diseases, wine glass styles and uses, cork history, evolution and uses, oak aging, wine tasting and rating wines, and my favorite, of course, the sampling of wines and a discussion. It's a great presentation, and it's located in the Florida Estates Winery Tasting Room. For more information and to RSVP, which we would recommend, please contact the winery at area code 813-996-2113. Again, Florida Estates Winery is phone number 813-996-2113. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Don't forget wine class this Sunday from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at
online.
Florida States Winery. See you there.
Yeah, there you go, wine class. It's amazing how we were talking and talking. We come back, we had less than 5 seconds left, and here we are. So check it out, Florida States Winery Tasting Room. And for more information and to RSVP, please contact the winery. All right, do that. And it's a very great, very, very good class, and you definitely don't want to miss it. 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., that is Sunday, and then Wine Fest from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. on Saturday. All right, so two great events at Florida State's Winery. And what else? I guess that's about it. Yeah. We'll go ahead and close the show out. We'll be back next Thursday. That is June 19th. And right here on Blog Talk Radio. Or
Day, all of you daddies out there.
All the fathers. Happy Father's Day. And those single mothers who have to do both roles. Definitely.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a tough job. Yep, definitely. So happy Father's Day. And appreciate it. Thank you all for listening. You all have a great week. Enjoy some wine. Don't forget to come out to Florida State's Winery and enjoy it there as well. So come on out. We'll see you all next Thursday. Have a good one.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.